Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Doesn't sound like the usual mindless, boring, getting to know you chit chat. This sounds like you actually have something to say.
Well, indeed.
Why are we having this conversation? What the hell am I doing here?
Now it's the good stuff.
Audio as well.
Audio as well, mate. We're all going.
We're fucking back.
We're back. Jack's back.
back in the studio.
I've noticed that we're in the late afternoon. Yeah. You're a totally different beast here than you are in the morning, because some of the recordings we did when you're in Edinburgh were records.
Yeah, no, I'm slowly getting back into the swing of.
Is this Jack at his best? 5 o'clock.
Yeah, and I've had a kip as well.
There we go.
It was supposed to be 5 o'clock. Let's have
that. Yeah. Well, yeah. I think on this podcast, generally, timekeeping not a strong thing, really, is it? But that really matters when it's our problem, not the listeners.
Get to the good stuff on time.
Exactly. get to the good stuff whenever we can. Probably, maybe. Sometimes don't record it. Yeah, just put out highlight reels. Complex.
Yeah, but they did that on Friends. Do you know?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Friends used to have those episodes where they were just best bits of previous episodes. You just thought, yeah, come on, guys, you've got like a whole team writers. What are you doing?
That's where I nicked the idea. That's it. But this week we have Marcus Birdman.
Yay!
How are you, mate?
Good, thank you very much. How are you?
Not bad. Marcus was in Edinburgh as well.
You was in Edinburgh. How was Edinburgh, Marcus?
Well, I mean, I've just been slagging it off. It was great. For broadcast purposes, I loved every second of it.
Absolutely.
It was nice. No, we went for a nice coffee, didn't we?
We did. Nice little meet-up.
Sat on some steps. Nice, isn't it? Picture the scene.
It's very wholesome.
It's lovely. So Edinburgh was good, yeah?
Yeah. Most of it.
Yeah, that was the most wholesome thing I did. Sat on some steps with Marcus.
Talk denim.
Yeah, talked about both denim enthusiasts.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we spoke about that. But we won't get into that because it'll be one of them podcasts. We just spent an hour talking about denim.
Bit niche.
But it is quite a niche. But how are you, mate? You good?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
Enjoying the hot weather?
Yes, I was in the sea this morning.
In the sea?
Yeah, yeah. Deliberately. Wait. Yep.
Not bad. Getting rid of the body.
Shh, Tom, you said you wouldn't.
Sorry. Just don't go anywhere near Southend on sea.
Yeah, exactly.
Please.
Yeah, it was in the sea. It was nice. Yeah,
lovely. Beautiful. It's lovely for September, isn't it? Well, as you say that, I'm lying. I don't like it. I'm just saying.
You don't
lovely.
Like the sea?
No, I don't like the heat.
Oh, the heat.
I've just literally decided this year, nah.
No heat for you.
No
I
heat.
Don't mind it. If I want heat, I'll go on holiday. Not here. Get back to where you came from.
It's very on the cusp sometimes when you talk about
that. Your motto.
Not here.
Coming over here.
Go on heat. I'll go on holiday.
No, it's just too hot. Because not in London.
London is difficult.
We're just so ill-equipped to it, aren't we? At least when you go on holiday, they know how to deal with the heat. We don't know how to deal with extreme weathers, do we? We don't know how to deal with the cold. We don't know how to deal with the hot.
No, exactly. And it's the first week back at school today for kids, isn't it? And it's like, I remember being like autumn when I was a kid. Going back to school.
Yeah.
Well, it's summer now. My son's going back in shorts.
It's
How old is he? 23.
He's a teacher.
He's not a teacher, but he should be there, really. But no, yeah, but that's me. I was just supposed to be like, I remember guys starting school again, and it'd be like autumn time.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I think it is getting a bit warmer, isn't it? And later, what these Indian summers.
I definitely remember wearing a coat. The idea that she'll wear a coat, like my daughter goes back tomorrow, the idea she'll wear a coat is like, we're trying to torture her.
The reason I know, I went to a Victorian school, not in Victorian time.
You're that old.
It was a Victorian school. But I had a cloak room. I remember my first start in junior school and there was a cloak room, old pegs, and I must have hung my coat up there. So yeah. But actually, I sent Marcus a video earlier about parents.
It was very funny, mate.
When their kids have started school. But I was thinking, these parents who go, they say, oh, what am I going to do about my baby? Oh, all day about my baby. So, do exactly what you do when your baby's there. Just sit around scrolling through your phone. You don't do anything.
You just don't feel as bad.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You're going to love it. But then I just got to thinking, do you remember when child neglect was you had a good reason to do it?
When it was fun.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's a hell of a statement.
Yeah,
child neglect and how to do it.
But at least down the pub. I understand that. We're going down the pub, I understand it. You know what I mean? Or
were you? Were your parents the sort of in the pub with a packet of crisps for you?
Exactly. Was that? There was a slide in the pub garden.
I don't think you can do that sort of shit anymore, can you?
No, I do. I'm bringing it back. 90s parenting. Let's bring it back. No, that's what I mean, though. At least it was sort of worthwhile. Or if, people felt neglect from their parents, it's because their dad was at work trying to earn money for the family. I don't know how I'm going to explain to my son that the reason he's got abandonment issues is because I've been on TikTok watching a bloke clean a swimming pool.
That is good, though, that guy, the swimming pool guy. When he does Derek Chisora's one. It's pretty good.
That's what I mean. I'm not doing anything worthwhile. Benefit in his future. At least their neglect, they get some inheritance for one day from it. My kids are getting fuck all from mine. My addiction to just
doom scrolling.
Yeah, exactly. Right, we're just going to get straight into this, Marcus. Have you ever had a near-death...
Let's get straight into it.
Yeah, start again.
You're clearly not going to get straight into it.
Well, I've got the editor here, so it's fine.
No, leave that in, Joe.
Have you ever had... This is question number one. Couldn't make it through the first. Have you ever had a near-death experience?
Pardon? well, funny you mention it. Yeah, I have. I had a stroke about 2 years ago. The second one.
Second one,
yeah.
Jesus.
Busy.
Came back for more.
Yeah. Hopefully I won't have another one. But I was in hospital for a while, and I've lost half my eyesight.
Oh, really?
This gets funnier, don't worry.
That's it for this week, isn't it? Thanks for coming on, Mike.
Thank you very much. What a lovely time. I was pretty incapacitated, half blind, and on the ward, and it's full of I was on the male stroke ward, it's full of people who are half blind and fairly incapacitated. Right. Late night, I went to the toilet and parted the cape that they wear, the kind of gown that they wear, and sat down on a man that was already... at that point, I wished I'd died.
was he blind as well?
Yeah.
He didn't have a clue who had sat
there. No.
What he does, he goes to blind water because he knows there's loads of blind people there. Just sits on toilets. Just waiting.
Wait for my moment to pounce. Yeah, he'd been ushered in there by a nurse because he was pretty incapacitated and pretty blind. She'd left the door slightly ajar to slightly look after him, but hadn't really been paying attention. When I walked in...
She was too busy on TikTok.
Too busy on TikTok. looking at pool boy or whatever he's called. and so I wasn't looking where I was going because my eyesight's poor on one side. So... yeah, just literally sat down on top of him. But what would... it was such an English scenario. Because rather than going like, get off, you prick, or whatever, like he just went, oh, I'm sorry, who's that? And I thought, at least he's blind, so he can't... He doesn't know who he is. You know?
Yeah.
But he'd also been a real sort of arse earlier on in the day, and he'd said to one of the nurses, he went, "Nurse, not you, the fat one."
Oh,
I know, which was like harsh.
Yeah, yeah. And, but it's even more offensive that he can't even see. Yeah. He just gets a sense maybe that she's fat.
Maybe that's the only one he could see.
It's fat, yeah.
She has one of them fat voices. You know one of them fat voices?
I reckon people do have fat voices, actually.
Well, yeah, it's got food in the mouth. Swallow first, come on. I love when two things they Scott, because you can joke, it really tense.
No, but like sometimes you
bail.
Sometimes it is weird when you see someone who's previously been fat and has obviously lost a lot of weight and they've still got the fat voice. It's really disconcerting. You're like, and you feel like saying to me, "Lost weight?
Yeah.
Tell. Oh, why? By looking at me? No, by hearing you."
Yeah. It's also when you get them like that, people are really overweight and then they lose loads of weight and look worse. I feel really sorry for them people. Do you know what I mean? When it's like it's.
Yeah, some people look really. I can swear on this podcast.
Yeah, you might. Yeah.
So there's a comedian who was pretty overweight, and he lost. Do you know this story? Yeah. He lost loads of weight.
We'll name him on the Patreon.
And someone went to. Have you seen such and such recently? And he went, "Yeah, he's just a cunt." That's beautiful, isn't it?
That is lovely. No, but you do see it, didn't you? Where it's like people lose weight and they come out and unveil themselves, and it's like, oh god, go back to that's sort of hard work to look worse.
That's not paid off.
Yeah,
that's tough, isn't it? Yeah,
that's bad.
Do people look better? Has that conversely worked better the other way around? Like someone's put on a lot of weight and they look better.
Yes, I mean, yes. I think
No, but you're going like, they were fat and now they've gotten thin and they look worse. But as someone, you've gone like, finally.
Yeah.
You've really grown into yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Because you got to prefer a fat nan.
For what?
I just turned and stared at him.
I don't know the context, but
my Pornhub searches.
Fat nan.
You got a fat nan.
You want a cuddly fat nan.
Do you want a chunky nan? Don't you? Do you not want to? I don't know where I'm going with this.
This is your abandonment issue. Jack is a fat man.
Fat man.
Literally, I'm not going anywhere with that. I'm just saying.
Fat man sounds like a really good name for a kind of skate punk band.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah, ska band. Fat man.
What was the band near us? Ska punk bag.
Scar punk bag.
Yeah.
Oh, there's loads of them.
And what was it? There was a really specific, it was similar to Fat Nan, like.
Oh, my dad is big.
My dad is big.
Big dad's fat man.
Big dad's fat man.
That's it. That's the episode. That's the first album. You've got your title.
No, I'll do. A plump man. Skinny granddads.
Skinny granddads, fat nans.
I'm just basing it on my life.
They look a bit strange together then.
Yeah.
There's like Fantastic Mr. Fox, the three farmers.
Yeah.
One fat, one short, one lean.
That's it.
I think it's a bit like goths. You know when we see like a goth couple and the woman's really fat
and he's
tiny.
So tall.
He's tall and tiny.
He's thin. Yeah, like a rake.
Do you know Dave Thompson, the comedian?
Yes.
He had a beautiful joke about seeing a couple like that. And he went, "He's not in love, he's in orbit."
It's lovely stuff, because it's not our joke. So it's fine, Joe. It's fine.
So it goes badly. As Dave Thompson.
It's Dave Thompson.
I've realised about goths. They love drinking cans of Monster.
Yeah, they do.
You ever notice that?
I mean...
It might be one of the things, I'll put it out there now. Now you'll see it more often. Cans of Monster.
Well, you're from Southend. Is there a goth subculture in Southend?
A little bit. Not. I mean, the Horrors are from Southend, so they maybe have sort of brought goth back. Yeah, there's a bit. I mean, the trouble with Southend is I love Southend, but it is a bit Tory, sort of. It's a bit Essexy, was very Essexy. So yeah. Their subcultures are small. Was that? Yeah, your people. Yeah.
People so, think Jack's from Essex.
Yeah, I get it all the time.
He leans
now.
Into it.
Yeah, I thought you were from Essex.
Just, and I'm just from Essex. Yeah. That's me. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I kept seeing you at the Alex, so I just assumed you were.
Yeah, that's what I did. When I was in Edinburgh, I just sort of got adopted by a group of Essex boys. They just sort of brought me under their wing. It's quite nice.
I think that that sort of London orbital towns, like it's Crawley, isn't it? You're from
and no, all those, but Croydon, really,
Croydon. Yeah, sorry, yeah, all those sort of places. They could be from anywhere, really, couldn't they?
Yeah,
like I could be from where you're, and you could be from where.
Yeah. Well, I'm from Bexley Heath, and the amount of times people from North just assume Essex and Kent are the same thing. Really.
Yeah,
they you know,
they are a bit.
They are a bit, but there's very subtle differences.
Yeah, I think Kent's a lot more racist. I don't think Essex is racist. I think it's just a bit right wing, but without, it's quite tolerant of that, I think.
Yeah, I think Essex people sound more dumb than they actually are.
Yeah,
if that's not offensive, is it? Is that,
Essex people have got that sort of Scousers of the South, haven't they? Everybody thinks they're funny, and everybody's a bit chirpy chappy, which can be really endearing and really annoying.
Yeah, but Kent people are standoffish.
Yes,
whereas
exactly.
Essex people, like you say, are more bit more welcoming.
Yeah,
Kent, we're very much.
To be honest, they're both of the places like my favourite places to gig. Essex. Well, only because
you're right wing, so that.
Yeah. All my material, and they love it. I don't go anywhere else.
All that fan and stuff. They love all that.
No, I'm saying they are just generally up for it. Crowds. You know what I mean, it's that sort of. Well, probably, you know, I'm not the most intellectual comedian, so this is probably why it works so well, to be honest. I need a lot of jokes explaining to me, I do, quite a lot of the time. But if I'm around other comedians, I'll just go...
When Marcus mentioned the horrors earlier, what was happening in your mind? Did you know there were...
Yeah, I don't know.
That was a bad
you just thought like the concept of the horrors is from Essex.
It's like a squid.
Yeah. Was just a bag of jelly babies there. I was just sort of distracted by that.
That's fair enough, mate.
Just saw a jelly baby. Yeah, back that in was the it. Distracted.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Mentioned, obviously, the near-death experience. You sat on the man. How are you now, Marcus?
I think I'm okay. So I had two heart operations later, and I've got another one to go. I need probably a heart. I've got a heart monitor. I've had a hole in my heart closed, so I've got half a platinum heart, which is quite cool. But I am Manny.
Absolutely.
And then I think I probably need a pacemaker. None of this is cool.
I was just about to say, you've got a touch of the Tony Stark about you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, ting ting.
Was it because the second stroke where they go, right, we've got to sort this out?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Well, there's quite a correlation between people who have strokes quite young and holes in the heart, which when I had the first one was less well known, and now they're a bit more, that's happening a lot. So the first time around, I didn't get it closed, which probably was an error in retrospect, but because obviously I don't know. But now I've had it closed. Hopefully that's the last thing. And I've lost half of my eyesight, so that's not
when you say deal, half your eyesight, do you mean one eye or half of the...
No, so I've got a thing called homonymous hemianopia, which is... sounds like Miles Davis's bass player or something.
On bass.
So it's half in both eyes. So it's like the right-hand side in both of my eyes is blind. So my eyes are actually fine, which is kind of weird. There's nothing wrong with my eyes. An optician tested my eyes and she said, if there's something wrong with one of your eyes, there's probably something wrong with one of your eyes. If there's something wrong with both of your eyes in exactly the same place, there's something wrong with your head. And she went, go to hospital. And she went, okay, yeah, when all this is blown over, come back and tell me, you know, what's going on. And which I later did. And she thought, she said, I thought you had a brain tumor because your eyes are actually fine. I knew there was something wrong with your head because that doesn't happen unless you've got something wrong with your, you know, but both blindness in both.
Yeah. She approached that lovely, didn't she?
She did, yeah. She held her cards close to the chest.
She knew. She went, just let you know.
Yeah, Matt, yeah, we can do that. Fuck.
Yeah. Or black, I go, fucking hell.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Holy shit, Batman.
Probably oh, fucking sorry, head.
You going to the hospital anytime soon? Yeah. I fucking would if I were you, son.
Give me a lift. I live by the hospital. Yeah. Well, there is that thing that you should probably go to hospital now. It's not words you really want to hear.
Yeah.
So that wasn't encouraging. But
so I just imagine someone being examined and just going, fuck. No,
examining his eyes, so her face is really close to him. Straight in the face. Fuck!
You're wrong.
No.
Is that good?
Well, I was in there. They couldn't really work out what was wrong with me. And I was in a meeting with a pretty high-ranking, I think it was a stroke specialist, heart specialist. And at one point, it was me and him in a room. He got up and he went to the corner of the room and he went, "Think, man, think." I said, I'm right here, man.
Started, Sherlock Holmes. Like a pipe.
Think, man.
Just gets out a medical textbook in front of you and just starts leafing through it.
Yeah. But people do that. They Google, like, if you're the doctors,
Shit. Yeah.
Well, I could do that. Do you know what I mean? They all say,
mate, you can't concentrate for 2 seconds.
Yeah, I know.
Halfway through that story, and you're reaching for a jelly, baby. No disrespect, but I don't want you to be a doctor. Doom scrolling and eating jelly babies.
just write that. I'll write that. Whatever. Say it's AIDS.
AIDS. Head AIDS. Bum AIDS. Face AIDS. It's one of those.
But that's what happened when you do Google it. It's usually AIDS, isn't it? Like tickling cough. AIDS.
Well, no, because AIDS obviously.
Yeah, I think you don't, because you're
just first of the alphabet.
Well, it shuts your body down, so you get a lot of stuff with AIDS.
More the point is like, if you are like a hypochondriac, there'll be a list of things it possibly could be, and you're going to go, "Oh, well, that's fucking the worst one, isn't it?" That's definitely what it is.
I think that's. Have you ever thought in your life you've had it?
Well, AIDS.
Yeah. Have you?
Yeah.
Oh god.
For like a period, like when I was when I was younger, I think.
When you were into heroin.
Yeah.
And men.
Yeah, I was a teetotal virgin.
Straight, isn't it?
That's how bad it got. Yeah, no, you have that little scare, don't you? No, I think it's when you go for like the sexual health check.
Yeah.
And then they go, "Should we test for that? Why are you testing for that?" And then you go a bit like.
Yeah. We went for our first one together.
Yeah,
and then
nice.
it was like, happy 2 weeks. We
It was a real,
because we didn't get the message.
But it's a very scary adult of us for doing
it.
God, it is nerve-wracking.
Because also they say, because I don't think this is fair. They say, right, if there's a problem, we'll contact you.
Yeah.
If there's not, we won't. You think that's
how long is that going to go?
Yeah.
What if you lose my number?
Yeah. The rest of your life going, fuck. Like, when's the every time the phone rings?
I went for STD test. And he was sort of going, talking through the health, your sort of sexual past, what's done, and why you think you should be here. And I was sort of mentioning what I'd done. And he did. He looked at me and he went, "What was wrong with her?" clearly, he's like so innocuous for what he had been used to hearing.
Yeah.
But I think I was just like paranoid, you know, that you sort of, it's scary.
That is a scary. I think they should just say, "Look, we'll just send you the results and get the results." Yeah. Not just fucking just. That's not what I'll have.
Yeah, because you want a result that says negative. During COVID, you got a negative COVID result.
Yeah.
And you go, right, that's good.
Yeah. It's quite sort of like. Sort of aloof. We might contact you.
Yeah. Don't contact us. We'll contact you.
We're playing hard to get. So, I fancy the NHS now.
I've just been ghosted by the NHS.
Right. We're going to get into question DOS. That's two, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it actually leads quite nicely onto my next question.
Excellent.
Have you ever had a disastrous one-night stand?
Yeah, oh God, yeah.
With the bloke on the toilet?
Still hasn't got the results.
Oh, I had the results. So I did... I went to do a gig in Norway, and I had been talked to the promoter, who had become a friend, and... I was newly single, and I was like, "You've got to sort me out and one of these statuesque Norwegian women, like just like just
sort
if you
me
think,
out, man.
If you think anyone who might quite like me."
So that was important. That last bit.
Yeah. Rather than who's to like me. let me put that straight.
And no money will be exchanging hands. Yeah. Not that deal.
So we did this gig, and after I'm talking to this statuesque Norwegian woman.
Statuesque Norwegian.
She was like central casting for Norwegian women. and I could see the promoter sort of behind me, sort of going like this. Like, I was like, why is she doing that? Anyway, so this woman said to me, she went, "Should we go back to your hotel, get to know each other better?" Right, that was the exact phrase that she used. So I was like, hell yeah. So we went back to the hotel. So we're kind of like getting down to it. And she bit my tongue. But not in a kind of like nibbly way, in a kind of like, ow, that really hurt.
Right.
So I was like, ouch. Right. And then she bit my ear in the same way, right?
Oh, God.
And I was like, ah, that really, really hurt. Now, I'm a comedian, rule of three. I should have seen what was coming.
right. No.
So, yeah. So, you know, she goes down and bites really hard the end of my cock. Right? So, and I sort of like had to get her off like that. So got her off, and she passed out. Right? What? She just went completely out cold. And I couldn't wake her up. And I was like, I started to really panic. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck to do now. So I rang up the promoter, and she was going, "Well, I told you so." she was like, "What do you mean you told me so?" I was standing at the bar going like this. She's a well-known kind of lunatic. And I was like, "Why didn't you tell me that now?"
She's statuesque.
I'd have still probably done it. But at least forewarned us for, haven't I? And she was like, just leave. And I was like, I can't wake her up. And I don't want to leave her here because I don't want to kind of like her to pass out or choke or whatever. I have no idea why she's there. I know she's there, but I have no idea why she's passed out completely. But she seems to be breathing, and I was like, I don't know, fuck. So I thought, I'll leave her there. I put her in a recovery position, right? And I went back.
Bite marks on his car.
Well, this is the thing, because it's like she's got like knob DNA on.
on her teeth.
So I put her in the recovery position, and I went back to the gig. And by which point this gig's now locking, and everybody's absolutely leathered. And I started talking to this other
statuesque.
We're getting on really well. And she says the exact words. So they obviously learned this in their equivalent of GCSE English. She said, "Shall we go back to your hotel and get to know each other better?"
Oh,
and
no.
At which point I realised I already had a girl back, an unconscious one back at my hotel. So and I thought that. So I was like, "Oh, this is unraveling badly, right?" And I'd also like to stress that at no point was I in control of any of this situation. I wasn't alpha maleness at all. So I kind of thought, well, I can't just bring her back. So I sort of told her, just because I thought, like, I'm expecting her to go, "Oh, you scumbag," which would have been the appropriate and right sort of thing. And she went, in retrospect, what was probably quite frightening, she went, "Oh, don't worry, I'll get rid of her." So we're going back to the hotel, and she's going, "Oh, this is going to be fun, right? I'm going to pretend to be your, wife, right?" Yeah. And I'm an actor, I'll pretend to be your wife. And I was like, and I'm losing the will to live. She's getting really excited about going, and I'm just like, "Oh, fucking hell." We're going to the Woods Hotel, and I'm praying that the first woman has woken up and just left, you know? And
Get to the hotel. No. There's a unconscious naked woman on the bed. The second woman starts going, Giroop, you're in me husband's bed. Like, oh. and like a really, really bad kind of Yorkshire accent. And I'm going. I went. What are you doing? And she went. You said your wife. You said your wife was. My ex was from Newcastle. I went. Yeah, but that's not a Newcastle. and we're having this conversation. What are we doing? What are we doing? She goes, you're in your husband's bedroom. She can't wake this woman up. And she's shaking her, and she won't wake up. And then this woman wakes up, goes to the corner of the room, pisses all over my stuff.
Story!
Goes back to the bed and passes out again.
What is this story?
You asked for a disastrous one night stand, and I'm telling you.
I regret asking. There's no arc to this story.
Oh, there is. It's getting worse.
Oh my God.
It just keeps deviating into. Oh, okay, let's keep. Anyway, we started it now.
So, I can't believe there's more of this.
There's more. So at which point? So now the second woman is now furious.
Okay.
Literally picks this woman up by the ear and frog marches as we're out of the room
naked.
Yeah, and I went, you can't do that. She was naked.
Morals are out the window.
She picked up her clothes and just threw them out the window, out of the door, closed the door again. Right, I wish they were all there in the morning as well. So, and it was like February in Norway. So how the hell this woman got? I was expected to see a sort of frozen,
very statuesque,
Jack Nicholson in The Shining,
that's pointing at a watch. So that was a disaster. There's an addition to this bit. So that the second woman became a very successful actor and wrote a show about being a sort of stand-up. And she wrote this scene into the show about 4 years later. And she asked me to come back and play myself in the scene, which was great. Yeah. So I went back and they redid that scene.
That must be so freaky.
She got the first woman to come up and slap. She's going to be really good if she comes up and slaps you really hard. I was like, yeah, okay. Anyway, we redid that scene about 10 times. And I'm like, I said, do we really need to do this scene 10 times?
Was she in the film? Was the second woman in? Did she act in the play?
No.
I just wanted to say.
The second woman was in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Set in Belfast. That's fierce as well. I like the way, like, you must have been going through some hell of a dry spell that
that was awful. It was like, as I said, I'd like to reiterate that I was just like cowering in the corner of all of this going like, this is awful. Yeah, it wasn't like fun, it was horrible.
The fact that you were like, yeah, I'll bring this second one back.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
She'll get rid of her. It'll be all fine.
Well, I was partly thinking like it'd be good for her to get rid of the first one because it was like I don't know how to do it. You know, like. So there you go. That's your disaster one night stand.
But a happy ending. We got to play out of it. That was disastrous. But that's what I'm saying though. Like if you you're thinking like, I want to meet a Norwegian lady like. You did not, not one point did you think, I'm going to bail out of this. It was like, no, this, particularly when it comes to the second one, thinking, well, there's still a chance of me getting some action here. Yeah. And even, I'll get rid of the body. Like, what the fuck? You sound nice.
Did you get to know her better afterwards?
Yeah. Okay, we're quite good friends.
Oh, great. Oh.
Fantastic. Yeah, we're quite good friends.
That is a happy ending. That's not a disaster. That's great.
Yeah. We don't need to speculate on what happened to the first one.
No, the first one. So the first one is alive and well and still living in wherever it was.
Wink. Why did you wink at me? She's alive and well.
That's my dodgy eye.
So what, she was known as the local nutcase.
I think she was, I mean, yes, apparently so.
Right.
So she was, that. You know, it was quite weird behaviour.
Sounds it, yeah.
Yeah, no, we're not disputing that. Just go up, have a piss on your stuff. Yeah, yeah.
No, I mean, I agree. I mean, I'm not
give her a
my,
chance,
I'm
Marcus.
I'm not saying my behaviour wasn't appalling. It was appalling, but hers was pretty strange.
So superficial, man.
Marcus, you're going on tour, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yeah, currently on tour. Started last weekend, so three tour dates in, which is lovely. So yeah, I'm around. I'm on the around about the country. All my stuff is on marcusbourbon.com. Marcus with a K. So you can see the tour dates there.
Thanks for coming on, Marcus. Marcus is going on tour. Follow Marcus on Instagram.
At Marcus Bourbon.
At Marcus Bourbon. Is it, well, Marcus
with
a K.
Marcus with a K.
Marcus with a K, don't forget. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Marcus nice Bourbon, everybody.
Yeah. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.